I've left my Bible down there. Thank you so much. When you get old, you forget things. Don't get old if you can avoid it. Great. I'm David Whitmarsh. I'm from a little place called Richill in County Armagh. We're not rich by any means. It's a misnomer. I'm going to read from Ruth 2, so if you've got your Bibles, you can have a start looking it up. Page 268 in the Church Bible. So there you go. I'm from Richill, County Armagh, Orchard County, and I've lived in England, so I speak funny because I have to speak this way so that the English could understand me. And if you think I'm from England, I'm not. But it's great to be with you in Ballymena. I'm a part-time interim pastor in a place called Ballinahinch. You've probably never heard of it. It's in County Down. And I look after the Baptist church there as an interim pastor until they get someone better. Now, they're almost there. I think they've got someone better in mind. I haven't quite called them yet, but we're getting closer. And then I'll be able to spend more time with compassion, which is amazing. So if you're at Ruth 2, we'll read it together. Just a few verses from the beginning of this chapter. Some of you probably know already the book of Ruth. I think the best book I ever read on Ruth, apart from Ruth itself, was called The Romance of Redemption, and it was by a guy called Derek Bingham. And if you ever get a chance to buy the book, probably in a secondhand bookstore now, do buy the book. And it's a beautiful book, and Derek's now with the Lord, which is amazing for him. So it begins really sad. It talks about Abimelech, and he marries Naomi, and there was famine in the land, and they went to the country of Moab. His two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married two ladies from Moab. One was called Orpah, and the other one was called Ruth. And in time, Abimelech died, tragically. Mahlon and Chilion died, so there were three widows, and Ruth decided to go back to Israel. And the two daughter-in-laws were going to come with her, but she encouraged them to stay in their own country. Ruth said, "No way, Jose, I'm not staying. I'm going with you. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people." So Ruth and Naomi ended up back in Israel, and now in chapter 2, we see how they survived, the two widows, back in Israel. So Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone who, in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is a Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the fields where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I've told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." Amen to God's precious word. So this is Compassion Sunday, and I'm here to say thank you to the 54 people who are sponsoring children, mainly in Brazil. Thank you for what you're doing. You're changing lives. And we'll see how we get on here. Brazil is a country that is huge. I don't know if you've ever been to Brazil. Not under normal circumstances, pre-COVID, and one day post-COVID, God willing, we always encourage people to go to Brazil and visit their child. And that's a very emotional and special thing to see your child that you're sponsoring and supporting and investing in. Most of the houses are made of brick, and it depends whether they're in a slum or not. They're made of block and cement, and of tiled roofs. Believe me, they're nothing like any house you live in, and I don't know where you live, but I can tell you they are very rough and ready. When I've been to Kenya, I'll be honest, the houses looked like houses we kept pigs in the 60s at my grandparents', and it was sad to see how children sleep on concrete floors and how they manage with no running water and no sanitation. It's humbling that in a world like ours that is so developed in the West, there are 400 million children living in poverty. And compassion seeks to make a difference. We seek to make a difference in their lives. We are only scratching the surface. Compassion internationally support 2 million children. The UN reckons there are 400 million. So that means effectively we're reaching 0.5% of the children. We can make a difference for 0.5%. And today I'm going to ask you to consider, would you add another child? Would you consider sponsoring a child, investing in a child? The need is huge and the opportunities are vast. Thank you for those who support us already. You have made a huge difference. 70,000 hours the children have spent in the projects. Compassion is good for three things, I believe. Number one, we are church-based. Every project is church-based. We believe the local church knows the local community best. We know who we can help and who we can make a difference, and we're there in the center of that community. So that's the first C. The second thing is Christ-centered. Our churches and Compassion believe that the most important thing we can pass on to a child is the gospel. And some of you may have come through the Boys' Brigade. I did. And I understand what it means to answer the question, will your anchor hold? Now, when I was 8 and I learned that hymn first by rote, I probably didn't understand anything about the storms of life. And I didn't certainly understand the significance of those words. But like Alex Ferguson, I can say the hymn off by heart, and I know the Savior who is my rock and is my anchor. So that's the second thing, Christ-centered. And the third thing is child-focused. We believe no child should live in poverty, and we believe we can give a gift to a local church and enable them to raise the child from poverty in Jesus' name. And what's more, your gift will be linked to a child who you can write to. That's really important for us. We're all into relationships, just like our Heavenly Father wants to have a relationship with us. Your impact is huge. And these hours spent in the project are mainly on Saturdays. We pay for them to go to school. If you pay for something, you appreciate it. It's a nominal fee, believe me. It comes out of the £28 a month, so it's not a huge amount, but it makes sure they've got a uniform and they're able to go to school, and that's so crucial for children to be educated. So they go to school 5 days a week, and on the Saturday they're in the project, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. My mum used to say, the devil finds work for idle hands to do. And our projects work on the basis it's better to occupy the children than to leave them to their own devices on a Saturday. So they're in the project. That's where the 70,000 hours comes from, Saturdays. We also say they're welcome to come to church on Sunday. They don't have to. I would say 99.9% of the children are at church on Sunday because they just love being with the other children and they love working with them and being in church singing to the praise of God. At least 389 medical checkups have taken place from visiting doctors. 114 Bibles have been given. That's because we give nursery Bibles, children's Bibles, and then teenage Bibles. It's all the Word of God. They get different Bibles depending on their age. So that's how 114 Bibles have been given to 54 children. It is crucial to us that they have the Word of God readily accessible in their own language and at their own level. Your gifts are making a huge difference. And it's a time like this that you should be informed, really, about £22,683 collectively High Kirk has given to children in Brazil in the last 12 months. 18 of you have also given additional gifts, either for Christmas or for their birthday. Thank you. That makes a huge difference. And believe me, there are children in Brazil who are thankful for High Kirk and for you individually, and they'll know your name. And can I tell you that they keep every letter? Some children memorize your letters. That's how important they are too, that they can tell their friends that they've got someone in Ballymena, Northern Ireland, who loves them enough to write to them, to care for them, and to make sure they get an education, make sure they get to the project, and make sure that they hear about Jesus. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. Your letters are making a difference. As I said, we really do emphasize writing to the children. I'm useless at writing. There's now an app for Compassion, and we have it on a phone. I can use a phone, believe it or not, and I can do the letter on the phone. My wife very kindly helps me by suggesting what I write. So it's like a dictation, and I type it on the phone. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you prefer to write a handwritten letter. That's lovely too. Either way, we want to encourage you. Can I say, this is a phenomenal statistic here. You probably don't think it, but recently in the last 12 months, 61 letters have been written by children to you, and you have written back 44 times. Can I tell you, I've been around churches in Northern Ireland, and you've got the best record. All right, you might think that's bad, 44 out of 61. You've done exceedingly well. Thank you for taking the time to write the letter. It doesn't have to be a huge letter. Just a little bit about yourself, a little bit about what God has been teaching, favorite Bible verse, and tell them about your family. We have grandchildren now, believe it or not. I have four girls. They start at 11 and go down to 7. So I've got four granddaughters. I tell them about the granddaughters, how they're getting on at school. I tell them about different things about Northern Ireland, which are it's an amazing place to live. And I encourage them to tell me about what they're learning at church, what God has been saying to them and their favorite verse, and how we can pray for them. So thank you for writing the letters. That's a phenomenal response. Thank you. COVID-19's been tough for us all. There's not one of us have escaped isolation difficulties. You're here, and I'm glad maybe you're watching online. Believe me, it's been 10 times worse at least in Brazil. Things have been tough. There's 21% of the children have been supported in their own homes. So someone from the church will go to their home, make sure they have enough food, make sure they have hygiene equipment, and they understand basic hygiene rules, and they're able to keep safe, whether that's masks or sanitation gel or whatever. So 21% has happened in their home, 38% happened in their small groups. So small groups of children, perhaps in a street or in a suburb, meeting together. So the church has been around and ministering to the children. They haven't forgotten them. And 35%, about a third of our projects, are open as normal. So that's how we have been working and coping during the pandemic. Thank you for your continued support. That never ceases to amaze us, that you have continued to stand and invest with these children even during difficulties during COVID. Thank you. I want to turn to Boaz. This man was an amazing guy, and I love it that he gets a mention in Matthew 1 and Ruth also in the genealogy of Jesus. I think this is just such an amazing book, such a wonderful book, such a warm book. It begins with disaster and ends with blessing. And I want to tell you that life may be tough, and you may be thinking £28 is an awful lot of money. But can I tell you, God will bless you as he blessed Boaz. God will bless you for your generosity. God will bless you for your faithfulness. Boaz spotted a stranger gleaning in his field. Boaz noticed that she wasn't a local. She wasn't even an Israelite. She was from a different country, a pagan country. He could very well have said, "Get out of here." And you know, God stirred his heart. He had compassion. And I love this word. It's very rich in the Hebrew and the Greek. the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a word of action, okay? It's not just pity. We tend to think of compassion as pity. I felt sorry for them. And it's more than that. It's actually love. It's a very moving word, love. But it's also connected with action. So it's an action word. They both go together. And Boaz had this type of compassion. And he knew the Old Testament. And he understood the scriptures. And we're going to catch up in just a minute with the text, which is from Matthew 25. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 25, not as well known as perhaps the commission in Matthew 28, but I think it's just as important, where he talks about a king being away and then coming back. And he says to the people, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the king will reply, when did I ever see you like that? They'll ask. But the king replies, truly I tell you that whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And I find that deeply challenging. Jesus says the poor would be always with us, but we can make a difference for the ones and twos. Just like Boaz made a difference for Ruth and for Naomi, he ensured that she had food to eat, an ample supply, that she could reap from the edge of the field, and that she could have enough to eat. That's the second thing I want to say, is Boaz shared. He made it easy for her. He made it easy for her to be in the field. Now, I don't know the size of your field. I don't know how many of you are cereal crop farmers. Looking at you, I suspect that not many of you grow cereals. Maybe one or two. Nobody in Ballinahinch grows cereals, so most of us buy them in the shops and eat them from there in whatever form they are. Boaz shared. He had a big field. He had people harvesting for him, but there was a bit left over at the edge of the field. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling to make ends meet and the present circumstances frighten you to death, this is not for you. I'm not talking to you this morning. You're exempt. Relax. But if you're here this morning and you've got a big field, maybe you've got some money left at the end of the month, you've given to the church, you've given to the Lord's work, you've been fed and watered, you've paid the bills, and you've a little bit left over, I want to ask you to consider, would you give that £28 a month to help a child? The bang for buck is huge. £1 a day doesn't go far in Ballymena, but it goes a long way in Brazil, and you can make a difference. You can make sure a child and her family or his family are well fed, nutritiously looked after. You can make sure that the child has medical checks, and you can make sure that they hear the gospel. All for £28. That's a huge difference in that child's life. Boaz shared. His heart was stirred. He was moved to have compassion on Ruth the Moabitess, a foreigner in his field. And he said, let's make it easy. Don't touch her. Don't kick her out. Don't stop her. And in the heat of the day when she gets thirsty, make sure she has water to drink. Don't exclude her from refreshment. Isn't that amazing? What a heart. And you know, that speaks to me as well of God. Boaz was God's man, at God's time, and he was available to be used. This is the heart of God. I'm not asking you to do something that's not biblical or honoring to God, because this is God's heart. And we've been singing about it already. And you all know this. I'll go back a little slide or two. You know this without me even reading it. Because you knew in your heart that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I love verse 17. I always put these together. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the heart of God. That's the compassion. And you probably don't realize that the word compassion is in this verse, but it begins with loved and gave. Do you see they go together? He loved and he gave. That's compassion. And again in the New Testament, you'll see Jesus acting with compassion. And it often uses the words in the Greek, compassion. It simply means, look at the need. I'm going to do something. Feeding of the 5,000 springs to mind immediately. 5,000 men, maybe 20,000 people, who knows? All of them were fed, and there were 12 baskets left over. Another day, he was out with the Gentiles rather than the Jewish people. And 4,000 men, at least, maybe that's 15,000, 14,000, who knows, 16,000, fed again. And there were 7 baskets left over. They were huge baskets, by the way. Very different to the first. The baskets were big enough to hold a man. So you know the size of a man. You may remember Paul in the Acts of the Apostles escaped from a city and he was in a basket. That's the same basket in the Greek. A basket that's big enough to put Paul into and to lower him down the city walls to escape. That's the size of the basket. 7 baskets left over. Because of the compassion of Jesus and because of the miracle of what he could do with a boy's lunch. Join us in this miracle ministry, which takes £28, a pound a day, and transforms a life. It's a drip-drip effect. It's not giving them a bundle of money today. It's a little bit every month to help a church change the outcome and the destiny for that child. Proverbs says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. That's what God's saying to your heart and to my heart this morning. What will your response be? I want to thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And I'll show you a little bit now of what's happened during COVID.
The direct impact of COVID-19 created emotional struggles for families.
They wake up with so much hopelessness because whatever they see around them speaks about hopelessness.
What is happening? Why is this happening to us? All of these questions are very vivid, very present right now.
The consequences of the pandemic were also compounded by natural disasters as well as social and political crises across the world.
The most vulnerable people are the children.
They didn't have anything, but what they have, they wanted to share with us.
Hi, Julissa. Compassion has provided over 12 million family food packs and over 8 million hygiene kits.
The long-term economic and social damage done by this pandemic will be felt for years.
That's why giving matters.
I had a chance to see tutors, project directors giving support and love to the children, no matter what.
The group got together, we started finding a way to sponsor these kids, and Fill the Stadium came up.
You can change a life.
When you look at the physical outcome at the church level, you really say God has done a very big job here, and you feel like, wow.
There's nothing impossible for him.
Eu vou agradecer a comunidade, o pastor, tudo a pelo amor.
Support is such an essential part of our program.
God has plans.
You are like an angel sent to our children.
Thank you so much for encouraging us.
Thank you for pouring into me and sponsoring me.
Yes, Together, we can make a difference.
Obrigado.
Yus pagara.
Yo pai chani.
Sulpai.
Merci beaucoup.
Salamat.
Gracias.
Thank you. I've met a couple of adults, living in Lisbon, as it happens, and they've been through the Compassion Project in India, and it's just humbling to meet them and to see their gratitude to their sponsors for standing with them in their growing up years. Do pray for Brazil. Pray with us for God's guidance for the Brazilian authorities as they make difficult decisions to protect the safety of people in the country and for their economic well-being. Pray too for vulnerable children and families in Brazil, especially in the area of safeguarding. Pray for wisdom and help for our teams. I want to also encourage you to consider sponsoring a child if you don't already, or consider another child if you can afford it. Out on the foyer, between the two banners, you'll see there are some children. These are real children, living children, who live in Brazil. It tells you on the front their age and where they're from. It tells you whether they're a boy or a girl. Some of the names you'll know immediately that they're girls or boys, but you may not know. It tells you inside in the front page what church they're from. It tells you a little bit more about them, when their birthday is, and if you'd like to sponsor them, please lift one of these, take it to the coffee table, sit down, fill in your details. If you can gift aid, so much the better. And once you've completed pages 2 and 3, bring that back to me, and that will be lovely. That will be great. You can keep the photograph, put it up on your fridge, and pray for them every day, and include them in your family, and look after them and write to them. That would be amazing. For those who are online, there's a QR code on the screen now, and you can sponsor this way, or go to the webpage, compassionuk.org/hope/HKPC. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. That is amazing. Thank you for changing at least 54 lives, and thank you for your ministry. Let's pray. Father, we realize we have it so good, relatively speaking. You have blessed us with many good things. Compared to these children, we are millionaires. Do break our hearts for what breaks yours. And help us, Lord, to be moved with compassion and to see lives being changed. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.